Love one another. By your mutual love, and the word here is agape, self-sacrificial giving, people will know that you belong to me, because this is what I did for you. Four times the word glory was mentioned. The glory of Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, was his death upon the cross. He offered himself for us as the pure oblation. And beforehand he said, do what I'm going to do for others. Give of yourselves. This has always been the hallmark of Christianity from the beginning. A sense of utmost surrender of self to others. The church from its inception was always known for its acts of charity. You read in the Acts of the Apostles how they were hungry. This collection was cut to distribute to the poor. The widows were being neglected. They set up the order of deacons to provide for them. Time and time again we read how the church bent over backwards to assist those in need. Yet you never hear much good press about the church. The last few decades we've heard much negative press, and rightfully so. People in the church didn't do the right thing. But the individuals of the church aren't the church. They belong to the church, but the church is full of sinners. We're all sinners, aiming to be saints. And some sinners have caused great scandal. But don't let that take away from the big picture of the church, the body of Christ. It's spiritual, it's mystical, and it's had an impact on human history. So often these words of our Lord are taken as platitudes, nice words, but you've got to tie it to reality. And we do that by the first reading, all about a place called Antioch. Antioch, as I've noted in the bulletin, was in Turkey, it still is. And it's one of the five centres of Christendom. The church began in five distinct zones. Started in Jerusalem in the upper room. Christ gave us priesthood, bishops, ordered them to offer his sacrifice after his death. And when Pentecost came, the church was born, spiritually born into the world in that city. By the year 70, it was in shutdown mode. The Romans had occupied, decimated the Jews. The temple would never be rebuilt, and Christians were dispersed. First to Antioch. It was in Antioch that you were called a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And the word Catholic means universal Christian. I'm a Christian from Syria, I'm a Christian from Greece. No, we're universal Christians. We're Catholic, Catholine Christians. It was there that Pope Peter, leader of the apostolic band, was bishop, Antioch. But God would inspire him to move further on to Rome, because it would be through Rome the empire would spread, and with that take the Christian faith. So Jerusalem, Antioch, Alexandria, Mark went there. It's in Egypt. Constantinople, named after Constantine, modern day Istanbul, where the church flourished for its first four centuries. The church spoke Greek. The Bible was written in Greek before it was transferred to the West, and the language there was Latin. We tie all this together because we see how the church flourished in its early days. It was very Eastern, it became Western. And in each and every case, wherever it went, it imparted to the culture a love of one another, and largely through the works of mercy. One work of mercy is to educate the ignorant. Another is to care for the sick. This is what we call healthcare, education. And it's still with us today. In fact, tomorrow Bishop Mark is offering a mass in thanksgiving for the contribution of the Mercy Sisters. Several of them were at the 8 o'clock mass, and rightfully so. In education, the Mercy Hospital, and in caring for the sick. Their legacy lives on. In fact, the mother, after mass, came up to me and said, is Sister Stephen still here? She taught my mother. She's been teaching. She's been professed for 70 years. And that's worth noting. Education. In this state, in Australia, the largest private educator is the Catholic Church. Not the Muslims, the Jews, but us. And just look around Albury, our nursing homes for the aged, the seniors. There's the UPA, Protestants, Lutherans, up the road, Southern Cross, Catholics. The Albury district's now Calvary. It's largely Christian churches run aged care, health. We have a Mercy Hospital, the private hospital up here, one in Wagga. In fact, after the state, the next provider of healthcare is the Catholic Church. These things we ought to remember because it's part of our heritage and it's a legacy that lives on, and it's also living out that commandment to love others. Just remind yourself next time you go into the hospital, it's called a hospital after the word hospes, guest. Originally it was guest houses for the sick. Run by who? The church, the Catholic Church. Religious orders, and eventually the state took them over, as our schools and other things. But originally they were ours. And although we kind of lose sight of that, we shouldn't. Another contribution that the church has made is music. Music notation came from monks. They devised it, set it up, and look at the contribution in music and entertainment throughout the world. And universities, they are a result of the Catholic Church. Go to the 12th century. Education centres for the monks was provided by Benedictines, Augustinians, Franciscans, then Dominicans, which eventually became centres of learning in Paris, London, Rome, Naples, and today they're owned by the state. But it began with us. So education, healthcare, music, architecture, these are all contributions that we've done for the love of God and of our neighbour down through the ages. Steep yourself in history, and the more you do so, the more you can see there is the love of God for others. If you look to the bulletin, we note that in those five centres of Christianity, Jerusalem, Antioch, Alexandria, Constantinople, Rome, only Rome and Italy was not taken over by Islam. Islam, of course, was founded by Muhammad, and it flourished in the 5th, 6th and 7th century. And it's a very belligerent religion that believes that you're all wrong, we're right, and we're going to convince you, either with the sword or by politics. And that's what's happened. Jerusalem, until after the war, was largely Islam. Now, the Jews have their centre, and of course that strife is on the news each week. Turkey, Egypt, these are all Islamic countries, but once they were Christian. And compare yourself, just stop now and think, would I rather live here with our education, healthcare, at the level it is, or go to these Islamic countries, which have been like that for the last 1,300 years, and live there with their education or healthcare? I know where I'd rather be. Why? Because we've lived out love one another. They don't have our Bible. They don't have this precept. They don't have Jesus Christ as Son of God. Therefore, this doesn't mean as much to them as it does to us. And it shows now in a cultural context throughout the world. Also within this context, we shouldn't just think of culture, but persons. If you travel to Rome, now to St. Peter's Basilica, today Pope Francis is canonising saints of the church, sinners who became saints. One that we ought to note was Charles de Foucault, died in 1918, martyred in Algeria by Muslims. But he was once a French playboy, aristocracy, lived a very wild life, dissolute life, drink, alcohol, parties, he was just there. Socialite, had a conversion, wanted to become a monk, entered the Trappists and weren't tough enough, went to Algeria and lived among the Berbers, set himself up as a hermit, tried to bring some love of God to them. Eventually they martyred him. He left a legacy of prayer and penance that still lives on. This hermitage is throughout the world dedicated to his spirit. Very strict, very austere, but very, very prevalent. And he's being canonised today. Another person who's being canonised is Father Titus Blansma. He was Dutch, one of six children, five entered religion. He became a Carmelite priest and loved philosophy. In fact, was sent to Rome to do a doctorate in philosophy. He also taught much regarding spirituality and mysticism, being a Carmelite of the contemplative order. He imparted that at the university level, became a professor, travelled somewhat in the world, teaching and preaching with philosophy and spirituality. And on the side, he was a journalist and wrote in editorials, magazines in Holland. And he wrote very, very aggressively against the Nazis. And he protested against them in the public press, and he was fined until they invaded Holland. And then they arrested all those who were political. In other words, who said things that the Germans didn't like. He and many others, like Edith Stein, were sent into camps. He was jailed firstly in Holland, and then he was sent to a political camp where they tortured people and did extraordinary things to their bodies in Bavaria, a camp called Dachau. Tens of thousands, and it's documented how they died. It's quite horrific. He was sent there, was experimented on, never lost his trust in God, never lost heart, and eventually fell ill and was put to death. He was exterminated by a lethal injection. And on that day of his death, which was 80 years ago, about now, the nurse who was administering the needle to him, he smiled at her and said, "Please, all I have of my priesthood and spirituality are these beads, my Carmelite beads. I want to give them to you as a gift." The nurse, who was the assassin, murderer by the state to put him down, said, "I don't believe in that now. I've given up on God and faith. You keep them." "No, no, I insist, please take them." Reluctantly, she kept them, put him to death, and time would pass. And I think of the actual graces she received not to throw those beads away. For some reason, she kept them, perhaps because of his beautiful eyes. Google up Father Titus today, right up here, but he had those haunting eyes like our Mary MacKillop. Perhaps it was that look that he gave her as he was dying that made her keep the beads. Whatever the case, she kept them, and in time grace ebbed into her soul like the dripping of water, and her heart gave in. She had a conversion, sought forgiveness, came back to God, and was present on the day when John Paul II proclaimed him a blessed in St. Peter's Square in Rome. The workings of grace, the workings of a soul, the workings of love, of people in times and places who have lived out the commandment: love one another just as I have loved you.